Earlier this week, a coroner returned the verdict of medical misadventure in the death of a baby, Leisha Lee Scully, who died after her heart was pierced during a procedure at the Coombe Hospital in January of 2015. Daniel Hughes from Hughes and Associates Solicitors represents the family, and he's with me now in studio. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Can you bring us back to January 2015 when baby Leisha and her twin brother Cuan were born at the Coombe Hospital? They were born at 28 weeks, yeah, so premature.
Precisely. So they were born at 28 weeks, Cuan and Leisha. But basically, as they were so young, basically what happened initially was that there was concerns about respiratory issues and what we call a respiratory distress syndrome. So what that necessitated was for a procedure to be considered to be done, which would basically involve releasing air pressure above their heart or around the heart region. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, baby Cuan, who was the little boy, the first procedure was done on him because there was no concerns actually at that stage about Leisha, the little girl. And the expression by the hospital at the time was that, in fact, girls are fighters and boys are lazy. So they weren't overly concerned about Leisha at that point. Unfortunately, what happened is Cuan had his procedure done initially in the hospital. And then ultimately, later in the morning, it transpired that concerns arose with respect to Leisha. So what happened then was the registrar proceeded to do the second procedure on Leisha, which ultimately involves where, in effect, you insert a needle.
Now, had that exact same procedure been done in the case of Cuan?
Precisely. Okay, so it's to deal with air trapped in the chest cavity. So it's a specific medical procedure which necessitates the insertion of what is in effect a needle into the lung chest cavity,
and you place it in a certain distance. And was it the same doctor in both cases who conducted the procedure? So very successfully in the case of Cuan.
Absolutely, and Cuan was doing well.
And Cuan to this day is thriving.
Cuan thankfully is thriving, and as I said, just the surprise of it is that in fact initially it was thought that Cuan was at the greater risk, so it made it all the more distressing for what arose thereafter, you know.
Now, Leisha's procedure did not go according to plan.
No, so unfortunately, in effect, it transpires from the evidence given on Monday in the coroner's court that ultimately one of the other nurses who was in the unit saw ultimately in across the room blood accumulating in the drip across from where the procedure was being done, and alerted obviously the practicing registrar to the situation. But unfortunately, it appears that it in effect nicked the heart muscle, and this ultimately is what brought the attention to the problem, you know.
Now, immediately they attempted to do things and they transferred Leisha to Crumlin.
Exactly. So the hospital obviously immediately reviewed the situation, and the consultant was called into the room to assist the situation, but unfortunately was deemed, they contacted Crumlin, and an emergency transfer was arranged to Crumlin Hospital to see it could respiratory could the matter be resolved. But unfortunately, ultimately, on arriving at Crumlin Hospital, baby Leisha was pronounced dead. Yeah. It had, unfortunately, the heart had been nicked.
And this, of course, highlights once again the issue of co-location of the children's hospital with maternity.
Precisely.
Being the much more pressing than with a tertiary adult hospital, but that's a different issue.
Yeah.
The coroner returned a verdict of medical misadventure. Now, what does that actually mean?
Yeah, just to explain maybe to the listeners what medical misadventure is, from a lawyer's point of view, it's really, the definition is what we call an unintended outcome of an intended act. So I suppose to apply it to this situation, the unintended outcome was obviously, unfortunately, the death of baby Leisha, and the intended act was actually carrying out of the procedure that was necessitated.
Now, the procedure, obviously you're talking about a tiny baby, because at 28 weeks they're still very, very small.
1.2 kg is actual weight, yeah, so it is very light.
Very, very light. And a tiny chest cavity, and a very delicate procedure.
It is, absolutely. And again, in all neonatal units, it's something that has to be dealt with very, very carefully. I suppose the frustration and upset for the family is, unfortunately, how the matter has arisen, what in effect happened. All the family have really looked for is the truth of the situation, and for it to have been effectively communicated what in fact happened.
And did that emerge in the coroner's court?
It did in effect, and unfortunately it's a matter that'll have to be ventilated in a different form. There are separate civil actions, so we can't obviously press that point too much, but you know, the family's view is that in effect, unfortunately, it was the piercing of the heart by the needle which ultimately caused the death of baby Leisha.
But clearly, as the coroner said, an unintended consequence of an intended action, which was to relieve the respiratory distress.
Absolutely.
And it wasn't the registrar's intention to nick the heart.
Absolutely, and I'd like just to make that point as well. But I think the coroner went further. In a lot of these cases, she will make a verdict. Now, the verdict of medical misadventure is the highest verdict she can possibly give under her jurisdiction under the Coroner's Act. But she went further and made what we call recommendations, which is in effect where, having considered the matter over the day and the evidence given by parties, she can give a recommendation at large. So in this situation, she actually made the recommendation that the procedure or protocol that is in place by the hospital actually be properly reviewed by the hospital, all its staff, members, training, etc.
There had been a change in procedure, hadn't there?
There had, and I suppose, to be fair, we would have to make the point that on Friday afternoon, we had been requesting clarity all along. This is nearly 3 years on now. The family had been requesting clarity on actually what the procedure was, you know, so we could consider it. But unfortunately, it was only on Friday afternoon before the inquest that we were given the hospital's breakdown of the procedure. And to further compound the grief for the family, the procedure appears to have been dated February 2015, but with a cover letter to our offices, it in fact said that actually this should have been in place in effect from January 2015. Now, that is an issue that we will take issue with in due course, but from the family, it's a difficult thing for them to understand how a procedure is in effect from February 2015, but yet retrospectively been implemented from January 15. But
so this was a new procedure that they were doing, a more delicate procedure, possibly with a view to leaving less residual damage to the baby, because what was it called? A wide bore procedure was there,
exactly.
Then you have this very small bore procedure, a needle rather than something bigger. Is that it?
Precisely, and effectively, there's an issue about what we call a catheter, or there's a trucker catheter or a pigtail catheter, but that's in effect what happened, you know.
Now, it is not the coroner's job to determine blame. It's
absolutely
just to determine what happened.
It's to determine facts, exactly. And just to be clear, the coroner's jurisdiction can't get into blame or negligence, and that's not a matter that she can go to. But the family were relieved that the coroner afforded such a wide exploration of what happened, and they have got some comfort from the day in question and the various questions that the legal team have raised and cross-examination, etc. You know,
it does seem like an awful long time to get to the coroner's court from the time of baby Leisha's death.
It is.
Is that normal?
Not normally that long, but unfortunately there were issues with this case where the matter did have to be adjourned for various other legal reasons at different stages, but it wouldn't normally be quite as long, because you don't actually get your death certificate until the coroner has given her verdict. So that's another issue for any family. They want to bring closure.
Tell me about the family themselves. I mean, clearly this was a devastating experience for them.
Yeah, well, I suppose both Colleen O'Scully and his wife, Irene, are absolutely distraught, aggrieved, irate, very upset with how matters were communicated to them, how matters have evolved, and ultimately what different matters that were said in court on Monday. Obviously, it's very raw for them. It's fresh, and they need time this week just to consider and collect their own thoughts and reflect on it. It's been a very, very difficult week for them. So we just like to give them that bit of space this week to consider their position, you know.
Now, in the interviews given outside the coroner's court, they talked about being effectively absent from their other children. They have an older child. Well, not a child anymore.
Yeah, they have a daughter, Caoimhne Scully, who is now 18. And again, it's for the family, it's the wider unit and the effect that has had on them. It was clearly visible from the parents and all parties in court that this was a very moving matter, a very delicate matter, but it has an effect, had a compounded effect on their family for the last 3 years. Both parents are really suffering and are trying to come to terms with it, and it has had the obvious knock-on effect that it would have on a family unit and a wider family unit.
But at this point, Caoimhne is more than a toddler. He's a robust little boy.
Caoimhne is doing great. He's now 3 years old and running around, and in great form, but he's doing good, and that's the one relief.
And they feel that they haven't been able to give him as much time because of the preoccupation with Leash's passing.
Exactly, and that's a big kind of anxiety from them in itself and worry, and they feel that their daughter has lost out as well, and the effect on the family that it would naturally have, you know.
Yeah, you talk about this matter being ventilated in another forum. I presume you're talking about the High Court.
Aren't you? There is High Court litigation already issued and pending, which is live litigation for the last 12 months. So we obviously can't discuss that too much, but there will be various experts in due course required to address this issue.
Yeah. Looking back on the whole experience, is there anything that could have been done to expedite matters, to cut short? Any legal process is incredibly stressful.
Yeah.
And that it should go on from the time of Leash's death in January of 2015 all the way up almost to 2018, it just piles pressure upon pressure.
It does, but unfortunately in these type of actions, when there is alleged medical negligence, that it's unfortunately a position that the hospitals take a certain stance, and you know, matters go legal, so parties have to take a certain position, and that's what does delay these things, unfortunately.
We were told there would be a better way.
There would be, and again, the mediation bill has now been made into law. It's now an act. I would have thought that this is something that should be in that form going forward. This is very distressing for families when they have to go through a High Court litigation over 3-4 years. It's very distressing.
And that mediation bill, when did that become law?
It came in last month.
So when the wheels are already turning, as has been the case in baby Leash's death, probably impossible to drag that into a mediation at this point, or not?
Possibly not. As I said, it's a new terrain, and I would have thought from the hospital's point of view, in certain cases, there could be certain cases that could be progressed in that manner to avoid the further High Court litigation and distress. But again, this is a matter for, unfortunately, litigation, and mediation is open to all parties, but it doesn't always arise. And I said, it may be something in the future that we will see a growing space. It might happen.
And I can understand the distress of the family, because when they look at every milestone for Cúan, they're thinking that would have been a milestone for Leash, a birthday or whatever development.
And every occasion, because they were twins, as you say, it's reciprocal, that on every big occasion it brings it all back to them. And that's why Monday was so difficult for them.
Daniel Hughes from Hughes and Associates Solicitors, acting on behalf of the family. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you.